The good news of Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Now he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I can't answer for the committee that decided to do so, but the story in today's gospel is split. This is the first installment of this confrontation in the temple with Jesus after reading the scroll of Isaiah. Next week, we get to hear the completion of the story. But I need to give you a little abbreviated peek at next week's gospel. And as I do so, the verbal emphasis that I'm going to give to a certain word, that's all me. I'm doing this, but I'm reading it from the gospel. We heard today, he began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by all. Next week, after he read and rolled up the scroll, he gave it to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Then they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. I begin today's sermon with a question. A preacher gets up, quotes scripture, and reminds the gathered congregation that God loves the outcast, those in fear for their lives, the poor, prisoners, the disabled, and the oppressed. In response, an outraged mob tries to kill the preacher. Is this from the New Testament or the Washington Post? Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I venture that there will be many sermons preached today on this gospel and connect it to the news articles and editorials concerning Bishop Marion Buddy's sermon at the celebration of the inauguration of the president. I feel today, though, as Diana Butler Bass does, all appears four times in this reading. Jesus was praised by all. The eyes of all were fixed on Jesus. All spoke well of him and were amazed at what came out of his mouth. All in the synagogue were filled with rage. From being transfixed to becoming homicidal. Though the Greek word for all, pas, means totality or universally, perhaps it is hyperbolic. Maybe it means the majority of the group. Perhaps it doesn't refer to every person, but the majority of them all. From a few feet back, it might appear to be all, but in reality, close up, it doesn't mean all. But what about those who didn't go along with the mob? Who are they? What did they do in the moment? We don't know. But I can imagine part of the untold story. I can imagine that there was a quiet group in the synagogue that day who were shocked by Jesus' teaching and were proud of their native son. But when all flew into a rage because Jesus dare preach that justice and mercy precedes nationality and religion, these few did not get angry. Perhaps they were shocked at the response of the mob. But then, when the crowd began to drive Jesus off the edge of a cliff, he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Jesus' escape seems somehow supernatural, as if he walked through the crowd like he was invisible. But I wonder, what if it was that a few of the crowd helped him? What if the quiet minority made a path for him to pass through the midst of them? It must have been frightening for them. They were going against their family, friends, and neighbors. As they followed them all to the bluff, they must have worried that they were going to be thrown off too. Instead of submitting to the tyranny of all, maybe they formed a little alternative community in solidarity with each other. When Jesus was pushed to the edge of a cliff, perhaps it was this small group who saw an opening or made an opening and helped Jesus escape. He passed through the midst of them and went on his way. That is a miracle. The bystanders found the courage to do something. What do you do when the mob turns ugly? When widows and lepers, people with disabilities, when LGBTQ plus people and immigrants are afraid and treated cruelly, what do? When a brave prophet calls out the self-righteousness. We, as followers of Jesus, are called to be not all. We are not to be part of the totality that victimizes anyone. Rather, we are to open wide our arms and welcome. We heal, we feed, we house without asking for legal papers or national identity. We are the followers of Jesus who have been moved to love all others because we have been encountered by the love of God first. And we cannot contain it to stupid human categories. If Jesus needed a miracle to get away from the mob next week, so do we. So does Bishop Buddy and so many others. People we know, people we don't. We must form squads of love and make a path through together, no matter how fearsome the mob. And that's the overlooked miracle of this story. Only a community, even one that goes unnoticed in a crowd, the band that refuses to join the rabble, only they can keep us from going completely over the edge. Amen.